if I said 45-year-old helicopter, you as a pilot, what does that make you think? What's your reaction?
Sometimes the years itself don't always make the difference. It really has to do with how many flying hours the aircraft has had and what type of maintenance has been taken care of, if everything has been followed properly with the FAA. It really shouldn't matter how old the aircraft is, but it should matter how it was maintained and how much it has flown.
We don't know what caused the helicopter to go down, but the NTSB has said in a preliminary report that it did strike power lines. Talk about when you're on a mission, what role do power lines play? How much of a focus are they in what you're doing?
You have to pay attention to where they are at all times, and sometimes they can be very difficult to see. Depending on the area, if it's known that there's air traffic in the area, they'll put these markers along the line so that you know where they are. But if they're not there, power lines are very difficult to see. It is probably one of the largest hazards that you have. Especially as a law enforcement pilot, you're going to find yourself lower and closer to power lines than you would in any other type of flying.
Is low and slow, is that a term that helicopter pilots use?
Yeah, we, especially law enforcement pilots, use it the most because we are usually trying to see something that's close to the ground. And as we're trying to see it, we need to be moving slowly to be able to give direction to other people. So we could either find ourselves in a hover, very low to the ground, and in a bad spot, depending on what's around us, if there is an emergency.
If you were flying at kind of power line height, treetop height, in a dense urban area, something went wrong, how confident are you that you could gain control of the situation and not just fall out of the sky?
From my own experience, I can say that things happen very quickly, that you hope that you will have that and that the training will hopefully back that up, but it's not always a guarantee. I find in my situation, I was very lucky because I had a place to go and was able to react. If I was over the city, we probably would not have had the same results just because of how low and slow we were in that situation. So for these guys that were out there, you always hope that you'll react the right way, but you just never know.
If an engine were to fail, how would you as a pilot know this?
You would know immediately by the loss of sound that you have from that the engine makes and the yaw. Depending on which type of helicopter you're in, it will just yaw in the opposite direction of the blade. So what you would want is you would immediately either hear it or feel it, but it has to be an instantaneous reaction.
You say that you could hear if the engine went out. Would you also believe that those around, bystanders, would also be able to hear something that just didn't sound right?
They may or may not. That's not always a guarantee because something in the engine could fail, that maybe the engine is still running, but that it's not connecting itself to the bleeds, which would be like a transmission failure or something like that. That does not always mean that the people on the ground will hear the malfunction.
When you heard about the accident here in Atlanta, what goes through a police officer, a helicopter pilot's mind?
It's absolutely sad. I feel bad for them and their families. It's a risk that you take every time that you get into the helicopter, just like it is any time you get into a police car. You have that feeling of you just don't know if this is the day that something's going to go wrong. It hits home because then you think, wow, that could have been me. And it's something that's always with you.
Aaron Nolan, helicopter pilot for the New York Police Department. Thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome.